Hello, and welcome to the new Art of the Cut podcast brought to you in partnership with Frame.io. My name is Steve Hallfish. I'm a feature film and documentary editor. For more than 7 years, I've been speaking to my colleagues in film, TV, and docs about the art and craft of editing. If you're interested in reading this interview with visual support and clips and trailers, head on over to blog.frame.io, where there's a ton of great expert content for film professionals of all types. Today, we're talking with the editors of Hulu's very unique series, 1015. The editors are Amelia Allwarden, John Daigle, and Matt McBrayer. I last spoke to Amelia on The Art of the Cut when we featured her work on the series Little Fires Everywhere. She also cut episodes of Boomerang, Impulse, and Cinema Toast. Matt has cut on Adam Ruins Everything, Idiot Sitter, Take My Wife, and Join or Die with Craig Ferguson. John has edited features including Plus One and How to Be a Latin Lover. His TV work includes Special, Keenan, and Black Monday, among others. Can we start with something easy, which would be how each one of you guys got on the show?
I vaguely knew Maya and Anna through friends from NYU and had also worked with Sam Spiegelman in the past on another show. And they were looking for some people who could really pull them some favors going into this first season. So they reached out to me and they asked me to be a part of the show. And I just thought it was a great idea and thought it was something I should not say no to.
I joined the show because a friend of mine and mentor of mine, Doc Krotzer, he knew Sam Spiegelman somehow through the grapevine and asked him to edit on the show. And I used to be Doc's assistant editor for a few years. And he put me up in his place when he wasn't available to do the show. So that's how I met Maya, Anna, and Sam, interviewed with them. And I just was so obsessed with the pilot presentation they had done, which was a 10-minute pilot, essentially, that they did to help sell the show. And I was so obsessed with it. I wanted the job so badly. So that's how I met them and luckily got the job.
Unlike Matt and Amelia, I joined in season two, but I knew about the show when they were making it in season one. I was really excited about it for them. I knew Maya and Anna through friends of friends mostly, but I'd known them a bit over the years and heard about this project and thought it sounded amazing. And I had worked a little bit with Sam Spiegelman as well, but then he and I had a series of projects where I was supposed to work on them and then things fell through. And so we kind of just kept trying to work together. And of course, season one went fabulously and amazingly, and I was a big fan of it. I watched it like 3 or 4 times. And so when season two came along, Sam took me out to lunch and said, "It's now or never. Like, you have to work with me sometime." So I was very excited to do it. I was really glad he took me to lunch because I didn't know if there'd be any room for me in that second season. So I was really fortunate and lucky to join for season two.
I'm assuming you all have agents, maybe not. Can you tell me about the value of having an agent? What other than just getting you work are they good for?
I think the best value of an agent is having a support team and also negotiating rates and contracts and things. It is a lot better to not have to do that on your own, especially if you're going to be working with people that you've either worked with before and developed friendly relationships with, or you already have friendly relationships with going into a show or a film. I think it's really great to have agents to handle that side of things, especially.
When I got first season of Pen 15, I hadn't signed with agents yet. But when I did sign with agents about a year later, when I interviewed them, I'm with WPA now, they asked me, "Why do you want an agent?" And for me, my answer was, "I'm not really worried about getting work right now. I'm worried about getting the right work." And we really bonded over that. That's kind of why I really liked my agents when I first met them, because it was just about finding the right jobs for me. And yeah, negotiating rates for me and things like that, that's all super helpful. So that was my main reason for getting an agent and why it's most helpful for me.
And I do not have an agent, but I've been seriously considering getting one for all of the reasons that Amelia and John just articulated. So agents, heads up.
How much collaboration or work are you doing together as opposed to working on your individual episodes?
We don't really cross over into each other's episodes very much. We do a lot of creative collaboration, I would say, verbally. When we were in the cutting room physically, it was really great, I think, to bounce ideas and scenes off of each other. And with our fourth editor, Taichi Erskine, the four of us would kind of all show each other scenes, show each other jokes, like, do you think this is funny? Do you think this is weird? In that way, we collaborate a ton, but the episodes are so tightly written. It's not like we would cross over one scene to another in a different episode. We wouldn't be really sharing scenes. So that's really the workflow that we use on Pen15.
Tell me a little bit about that pilot. Was it anything that ever actually aired, or was it more of a proof of concept?
It's nothing anyone's ever seen, but it was basically Maya and Anna doing what they do, and they go to a school dance, kind of similar to the finale of season one. I think it was just a tool to show what they meant, because it's kind of, I think, a hard show to sell conceptually. Like, we're going to act like we're 13, but we're in our 30s.
It ended up being a more naturalistic and raw edit in the end from the initial teaser, which was, I think, a little bit more of your fast-paced rhythmic comedy that you'd find on a lot of Comedy Central type shows. We just wanted to expand a little bit more and bring a little bit more of an organic feel to it for the actual show.
Did the rest of the team watch the pilot? How much of that is the direction, and how much of that is, hey, we set something up in the pilot episode with the cutting and we're going to follow that?
When I was cutting the pilot, I initially tried to model the editing kind of after what I saw in the teaser, because I sort of thought that's what everyone wanted. That initial cut got submitted and the feedback on it wasn't super enthusiastic. So I went back and I kind of rethought it. I'm going to play more into just the raw performance that I think you guys want out of this. I really just leaned on Maya and Anna's performance a lot more and let things sort of play a little bit more and let things be a little longer and a little feel a little bit more real. And I came back with a bunch of revisions in that regard, and they were like, okay, we feel like this is more the right direction. This is good. I mean, Amelia, you came in a little bit after that. So what was your experience like?
When I talked to Maya and Anna and Sam early on, they told me, like, we don't want this really edited like a typical comedy. We want it to be able to go into more dramatic moments and feel like, honestly, just not a comedy, not just like a sketch comedy, joke, 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 joke. It's really a blend of styles like that. I think that's honestly a lot of what I talked about with them in my initial interview, because I had had mostly drama experience prior to being hired on the first season of Pen15. I had done some comedy short films, actually, that they watched, which is why the combination of those two experiences was something that they were really interested in bringing to the show. From there, I was trying to really lean into the drama of being a 13-year-old and being really true to that drama, because when you're 13, everything is that dramatic. So that's really how I took those directions and ran with them.
Do the guys want to talk about cutting some of this material and, I don't know, the awkwardness of it?
Well, I think it's most probably awkward for Ty, who's unfortunately not with us today, because Maya is his sister. So he has a perspective on it that is really interesting, which unfortunately he's not here to share. But I haven't really thought of it in those terms. The show has such a strong perspective. And of course, I get to say that coming into season two as well. So it had such a strong, established voice before I ever even joined the team. But I found in working with Maya and Anna and Sam, and as well as Amelia, Matt, and Ty as collaborators just before COVID, when we could talk every day and share ideas every day, the voice of the show is so strong that I just sort of tried my very best to get on board with that and get wrapped up in that tone and that voice, which I think is true of anything you're editing that you try to do to a point, especially if it's pre-existing when you walk in. But in this case, this show in particular, that sense of tone and perspective and experience and emotionality, as well as the comedy, is so strong that I felt watching it so sort of enveloped by it that I just tried to hang on to that feeling, that being immersed in that perspective and experience I tried to hang on to when I got to the cutting room.
First thing I think people hear about this show is, oh, there are these 30-year-old women who are playing these 13-year-olds and all the kids are 13, 14 years old. And the thing that struck me the most when I sat down to watch the dailies was how much that face seemed to fade into the background entirely. because Maya and Anna are so good. I was just watching these and immediately forgetting all of that. Just so wrapped up in them as characters and their relationships to these other kids. And that kind of immersion made it so easy. Any notion of gender separation there just washed away.
I literally watched the first couple of episodes as if it was a horror movie. Sometimes I just had to go, I've got to walk out of the room. I've got to step away. I've got to.
They call it a traumedy.
My sister, my older sister, just started watching it, and she was in the eighth grade in 2000. She called me and she was like, I made it two episodes in. She's like, I can't do it anymore. It's like way, she's like, it's really funny. It's great. I get why everybody, she's like, but it's too intense for me to watch. Like, it's way too real feeling. I can't do it right now. I'm going to have to come back to it in like a few years.
Talk to me about determining pace, because it's multiple paces dependent on story, dependent on, I'm assuming, performance.
It's really nice when they're shooting singles of Maya and Anna when they cross shoot. So they're shooting the A cam and the B cam at the same time. That's really, really helpful because they'll go down rabbit holes of improv that if you don't have the other side, like it'll never get used. One of my favorite things about editing the show is just letting moments live, especially in the two shots or the longer shots where you can see their body language, you can see them playing off of each other. I think one of the most special things about the show, it's not just a comedy improv where, like I said, sketch comedy or anything like that. It's also improvised in a lot of the more dramatic scenes as well. So, for example, in season 2, episode 5, the sleepover episode that I edited, the scene with Maya and her mom in the bathtub, they're talking, and it's honestly a lot of improvisation. They are kind of just playing off of each other, and it's a really tender and really real emotional scene. And those things you just can't plan for. It's a lot of choosing what feels the most real and authentic, and sometimes that's bouncing back and forth between two shots, two singles, because there's something dramatic happening, which I think is just the best way to make you vulnerable, is to make you laugh and then make you have a dramatic realization or something really upsetting happening, because then it's just 10 times more impactful. That same scene in the bathtub with Maya and her mom in the sleepover episode of season 2, there's an improv rabbit hole she goes down where Maya puts an orange on her head, and that's only in one take. And then there's many takes where she doesn't have an orange on her head, and I ended up using the orange on her head, but then you have to find a way to get it off her head. The blocking of something in improv can really just lead you down a path that you then have to bring yourself back out of to get back to a scripted beat. So I was like, well, I love all these moments where she puts an orange on her head. I then had to find a moment where she's taking it off. Otherwise, it feels really awkward. It definitely is really interesting and a good challenge to work your way down into some improv hole and then make your way back, because it really matters that much.
And I think notably, it's not a comic scene. It's very touching and moving in the way they're talking to each other. And sometimes that's light and funny, but it's not a scene based in a comic rhythm. So it's also interesting that I found coming into season 2, there was a lot of improvisation, or a good amount of improvisation, and not built around comedy. I found, similar to what Amelia was describing with the orange on the head, there were several scenes I came up against where the material was amazing. And it really was an involved process to figure out how to cull the best moments from it without having the safety blanket of comic pacing to fall back on. And it was a great challenge, because it's not too often that I've encountered that level of improvisation sometimes for scenes that are more emotionally intensive.
Yeah, it's definitely a very delicate dance, working the different takes of improv together and making sure you have the right arc for your scene and figuring out, this moment is so funny and it's so good, but how do I connect it to this other emotional beat that I need that they also improvised, and finding the thread to get from A to B, and because you want it all in, because they do so much great stuff. But of course, you can't work in everything. So you have to figure out the right balance of a few different takes to work together. It definitely takes time. It definitely can be tedious, but I think what you have to work with on this show is fantastic. And we do a lot to try to fit it all in.
And when you can't make it match perfectly and you have your best stuff, we do have VFX people who are very good that we want to shout out as well.
Is the notes process on improvised stuff different? How do they even decide whether you've got the right stuff in the scene?
Well, Maya and Anna are very involved in post. So they will often say, wasn't there a take where I improvised about blah, 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 blah? And then that's why we have our lovely assistant editors who are script syncing all of our improv.
For those that might not use script sync a lot, what this involves that you have improv and you're trying to use script sync.
Our assistant editors watch all the dailies. We have a script, of course, and so they'll script all the scripted lines. They'll add a marker for every time they say the scripted line, but then they'll write in the script in Avid. Maya improvs every take. She always improvs something about how she wants to go get a drink of water or something like that. And then it'll be like, she might say a different line every time, but they'll write, you know, Maya improvs about taking a pill, taking a drink of water. And then you'll have little markers every time that they do that in a take. So then we can kind of really quickly jump through. And Maya's like, wasn't there a time I improv about having a drink of water? And then I'm like, which one? It's all really quick. And it makes the editing process so much faster, but it makes the prep process really long. On season two, we had 4 editors and 2 assistant editors. So they were just breaking their backs to get it all done for us. Lots and lots of improv. And we cross-boarded every episode for the season. So it could be for any episode at any time.
They were so on top of it. Michael Scotty and Amana Hadd, they really, really wonderful. And we had a couple of folks come in here and there and do some help work for a week or two at different times. And they were wonderful as well. But those two, Michael and Aman, were just really great and so on top of everything for 4 different people.
And I'm glad we gave them a shout out.
They definitely deserve it. Yeah.
They really do. Especially once we met remote.
Is that the sole way that you guys organize dailies, or were you guys also doing Slex reels or something else, or did you just stick entirely to script sync?
I tend not to start with script sync. I'll only do that in an emergency scenario if I'm way behind on dailies on something. No, I like to try to cut a scene for the first time just looking at the footage itself. And I'll do a Slex reel of sorts. Personally, I like to just do beats and moments. I like to watch the scene and just see what hits me and find the moments that really hit for me that I can really want to build around, or at least think I do when I start. Script sync tends to come in handy when directors and producers come into play and you want to swap takes or you want to look at things quickly. It's such an incredibly invaluable tool. I had one episode on Penn where I really delved into Slex for a couple of days. There was like a long montage of all the kids rehearsing a play. And it was a tech rehearsal week. And they'd shot so much for it on each side. Anna as the stage manager and Maya as the lead actress in the show. And they'd shot so much on each side that I sort of just spent a couple of days sitting down. And I don't normally go this in depth, but I just made a very intensive Slex reel full of hundreds of markers and just made a dense encyclopedia for myself of the material so I could get my head around it. And then also so I could continue to reshape it more easily every time I went in there and tried different things.
It's an insanely edited sequence. Like, I love that because it's so massive as what it ended up. So you can only imagine what it was in the dailies. I laugh every time when Gabe says, "Are you going to divorce me, Deborah?" It's like the funniest line in the world.
What's your approach to a blank timeline in the dailies that you're seeing?
I mean, every frame of dailies has to be watched on Pen 15 before action and after cut sometimes, or between resets as well. I mean, you never know what you're going to find. I watch every single frame and I pull things as I watch. Anything that makes me laugh, makes me cry, makes me feel connected, I just make a Slex reel. That's the only way for me to do it. And then I try and build the scene as scripted, and then I'll go off the script at that point, usually after having watched all the dailies, and cut the scene just as scripted. Now, that's pretty hard because sometimes they use their improv to get to the next beat instead of just going to the next line. So I usually cut that with a lot of holes, or maybe the continuity is not exactly correct. And then I use the improv that is used as connectors that can get me from the A beat in the scene to the B beat. Something I'll think that I would die on the sword for on day one, by 5 months in, I'm like, okay, I can't make it work. I wanted it, but I can't. In the sleepover episode, there was this one line where the kids are all saying, oh, this is the best night of our lives. You know, we're never going to forget this night. And Anna improv. Oh, when I'm an old bitch, when I'm 30, I'll never forget this night. And I thought it was really funny, obviously, because it's like a joke about the show. Every time I put it in, I'm like, this doesn't feel like the show. That's not something Anna, the character, would say. That's Anna, the adult woman, making a joke about the show. And it made me laugh a lot, but it's kind of like, okay, well, that's not going to fit with the actual show. We're not really there to make a joke about what we're doing. Okay, this might make me laugh, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's appropriate for the show. But I'll still always try it. I've got to at least see how it plays. We all laughed about it, but in the end, we're like, well, yeah, that doesn't work. So that's kind of my general approach to it.
That sleepover episode, in the end, it was like a lesson in editing. That it was such an immense episode with so much that had been shot. So many things have been tried, and watching you just shape that over time. And in the end, it was just one of my favorites. It was actually kind of fun to just hear you talk about how you even started to approach it, because it was so big.
What are some of those things that made you think that it was a lesson in editing?
There was just an immense amount of material shot for something that you would think, oh, maybe that'll be a montage. I watched it and I was like, what is even the structure exactly going to be of this? I'm not sure. It wasn't as clear to me as some of the other episodes where you watch the first cut and you're like, okay, I get the basic structure and the basic shape. But Sleepover, I think they tried so many things on set and done so many things that watching Amelia just shape that over time and then continue to do it with Maya, Anna, and Sam, the ways that you guys just made that such an effective tight. I know we went a little longer this season. I think it was, what, 35 minutes?
Yeah, it was 35, I think, by the end. Initially, I thought we needed to get it to 28. The episode starts with a three-way split screen phone call that I must have cut over 50 versions of. It ended up being split screens that changed shape and size throughout it, and that was the way that we settled on. During the sleepover, it's like three actual kids improvising, and then Maya and Anna improvising, and they're all talking over each other and they're all moving around the room, and the blocking doesn't necessarily always match. There's like a few different scenes, like they play truth or dare. There was a version where that was all a montage, and then also when they're drinking Surge, the dailies were endless on that. I think our assistant editor told me that it took him like 4 days to script sync just that scene, and it ends up being, I want to say, a 25 second montage, but that's what it ended up being in the final cut.
The blueprint you even put down for that your initial editor's cut. I mean, and you had, I don't remember how many days you had for that cut, but it wasn't a lot.
I had like four.
A lot at all. And what you were, I remember being like, oh my God, I can't believe she was able to do as much as she was able to do with this cut on this first pass, when there's so, so much having to be fit into this episode.
When we all went home for COVID, I had the last two episodes of the season. So I was sort of put on hiatus while everybody worked on the first five. And then it was like, well, we'll get to you, you know, when we're done. I said, great. So I was away from it for a little while. And then you sent me a second network cut. And it was amazing. It was just so amazing. I guess that's why I called it a lesson in editing, was just watching how you could take such a vast amount of material, shape it so many different ways, try so many different things, and then make something that felt so sharp to me in every way. So
can we talk about the patience that it takes and the persistence that it takes to get something where it needs to be from where it starts?
I very much believe a film is never done and an episode of television is never finished. You can always make it that little extra bit percent better if you had more time, if you had a break to come back with like a bit more perspective. I think one of the hardest things for me personally as an editor is you spend so much time in the room, and it's really important to be able to make a pass on something and get away from it, move on to something else, and then come back and look at it again with as fresh eyes as you can. Perspective, I think, is so important, and it's easy to get tunnel vision. For me, one of the most important things is just maintaining perspective and being able to come at it from the objective of a frame as possible, being able to circle back on things and watch them again and get something down and watch it from start to finish and see how things are flowing together. And your initial ideas, as good as they may be, are not always going to be cohesive or fit together well. And being able to reframe your initial intention on something is super, super important, I think, in this line of work.
Yeah, I think especially on Pen 15, this show could be edited in a million different ways. And I think that it's important, especially to Maya and Anna and Sam, to try all of those ways, to be honest. And I think that even if a cut is good, and if an initial cut is good and it works, we still need to try those other bits and those other angles and those other pieces of improv, because as good as we all, I think, try and make our editor's cut as a full presented idea for the producers and the directors, there's always a way to make it better. There's always a way to shape it and hone in that tone. And I think that we always go into it knowing this is going to be an amazing, long, tedious, tiring, fun collaboration. If I got sad when anybody didn't like my cut, I probably wouldn't be working anymore.
Yeah, I feel similarly. And I also, you know, mentioned earlier trying to get into the perspective of the show. And I try to think about that all the time of when I put together my cut, it's my perspective on the material, but it's not material that I wrote or created or directed. And so to have someone else then come into the process, I think the lesson I constantly learn is how different perspectives can constantly reshape, hone, challenge, and interrogate the material to always move it forward. Even if you're trying things and then going back to what you had, which sometimes happens, but you're still kicking the tires or whatever it is on every piece, because in editing, you can almost always find something new to try that can so often open up a new door, or change a tone, or change a beat, or change an entire scene. And that possibility is always exciting. So even when it's grueling, and even when you're reworking the same thing for the 50th time, still try to remain always open to that moment where it's like, oh wow, I've never thought about it like that. Or that beat is playing so differently from how it's played in the last 49 versions. Why is that? And I find that so exciting. In terms of recutting, or talking to young editors about recutting, I think that recutting is cutting. Yeah, it's part of the excitement of the process, I think, and part of the brutality of it, but also the beauty of it in the end.
To John's point, it is a collaborative art form. While we may be the sole editor on our episode, we are not the sole editor. You know, this runs through other very creative, insightful people who weigh in and bounce ideas off of us and us off of them. I think a cut is always, always, always made better, kind of more hands-on.
Is there a trick to the tonal shifts in the show you were talking about? Sure, there's comedy, but there are also some very deep, dramatic kind of moments. Is there a trick to navigating those tonal shifts, or is that done a lot for you in performance?
Their performances are incredible. So I really just follow the performance on what makes me feel that emotion that we're trying to convey. It's kind of all instinctive to me, but again, I mostly cut drama. And so I kind of use more dramatic skills there. Although I don't feel like there's too much of a difference in cutting comedy and drama. It's all cutting performance and story.
The show does deftly balance a almost simple and straightforward aesthetic style that is clearly very well thought through, but is not very flashy or attention grabbing, except in moments of either heightened reality. The show obviously has these beats where, because of the form of having adults with kids, there are certain moments tackled in depicting moments in adolescence that you're not going to actually shoot with kids. And so the show also sometimes engages in camera trickery that is a little bit overt or a little bit heightened or stylized in a way that sort of folds it into part of the comedy. And I really admire the way it moves in and out of these styles.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the time the hyper-stylized moments are about really real things. They'll have different camera angles to feel different. But then you'll have stylized moments that are shot the exact same way and they're very jarring. I think it's a very conscious decision by the directors on how to enter those stylized moments. I think Matt established in season one, whenever Anna sees Alex, it goes into that song like every single time. And it's kind of shot in a way where all of a sudden you hear a whoosh and it's going into slow motion. He walks by. So Matt, you did that in the pilot, right?
Yeah, that was in the pilot. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think one of the great things about the show is that there was a real encouragement to try a number of things out, that it was okay if there wasn't a really concise, uniform style to this show, that we can play a lot. And I think that sort of feeds into the youthful, playful feeling of this show.
I just thought of one in season one when Anna goes on a hunger strike and then she hallucinates that Maya's walking down the hallway in a ham suit. The first cut that I did of that, she hallucinates. And I think I did like a sound effect, and then I did transparent effect where I put the same clip over each other, offset by one frame or two frames. So it looked like, whoa, she's seeing a ham come down the hallway. And I reverbed all the sound effects, and I just made it like this very stylized moment, kind of in line with some of the things that Matt had done earlier. And by the time I started working with Maya and Anna and Sam in post, we're like, let's just try a version that's not anything. She's just sitting there, and then a ham comes walking down the hall. And it was way better.
Talk to me about the needle drops. Is all that scripted, or are you guys speaking into that? A music editor?
A little bit of both. We have a music supervisor, but I think Sam always had ideas for what he wanted in certain scenes. John, you had some big number needle drops in the last two episodes of season two. Where'd those come from?
Yeah, we had a lot of music in those two. The last episode in particular, a lot of it takes place at a restaurant. It's like a pizza party after the school play. So we had to really fill that up. And I think Sam, even in their choice of location and the production design, they were leaning very much towards like kind of an Italian restaurant. And we wanted kind of an oldies soundtrack to back the whole thing. We're also a show of not limitless budget, so that became a sort of collaborative endeavor. Also with Tiffany Anders, our music supervisor, who sent me this just incredible list of affordable oldies that we could do as well to fill that up. But even down to the end, we have a Goodfellas-esque shot of Maya and Anna going into the back of the restaurant in a long oneer, and the joke of it being that nobody actually wants them to be where they are, so they keep getting kicked out of everywhere they are. It was even very late in the game that it was Anna's idea to throw a What a Night behind that. It hadn't been planned. It hadn't been anything. And we just tried it in the edit, and everybody loved it so much. We all were just like, oh my God, this is incredible. And so even down to like the last moments, there were little beats of inspiration happening for needle drops. We also have a tremendous composer, Leo Birnberg. You know, when you were talking about navigating tones, I think the score is not overused on this show, but it's a hugely effective component in helping to navigate the tones of the show, and actually was made easier for me when I came into season two and was able to actually use season one score as temp, even to sort of navigate my first cuts. And that helped me enormously.
What was the COVID situation? Did you guys deal with remote editing?
Yeah, we had to close up shop. We had to all transition to the remote editing and figure that out and feel our way through it at the very beginning.
We were actually filming and editing both season 2A and 2B at the same time. So we had a little bit of time left filming 2B. And when the pandemic hit, we just paused. We focused on just finishing posts on 2A.
Fantastic. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about with this series that I've not kind of touched on? I don't want to leave anything off the table, but I don't want to keep you guys too long.
Maya and Anna, they pour their heart and soul into this show. They act in pretty much every scene. They write the episodes. They are in every moment of posts all the way through final delivery. It is really interesting working on a show where the two lead actors are the main creatives. Like, we always kind of refer to the characters as Maya and Anna. Even if Maya and Anna are in the room, they have the same names too, so that even just makes it harder. I was really intentional when I was talking about her, even if I'm talking to Anna about Anna, and separating that. I think that's a really important collaboration for an editor whenever they're working on a project with an actor who is also a director or a producer or creative.
Thank you all so much for joining me today on Art of the Cut, and I really appreciate the time that you spent with me.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you.
That's it for Art of the Cut this week. Thank you so much for listening. Again, these interviews are available to read at blog.frame.io, where they're supported with great visual content, images, video clips, and more. Also, it's a great opportunity to check out the other expert content on the blog for filmmakers of all types. If you don't own it already or haven't stolen it from your local library, check out my book, Art of the Cut, Conversations with Film and TV Editors, for a topic-driven curated experience. Thanks to my guests, Amelia Allwarden, John Daigle, and Matt McBrayer. Thanks also to Eric Randolph for editing today's podcast using Adobe Audition. Thanks to Frame.io for their support of Art of the Cut and its pledge to keep this content coming your way. If this is a podcast that you got something out of, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Steve Hullfish. And so you don't miss all the great upcoming interviews on the Art of the Cut podcast, subscribe to this podcast. Finally, if you have a friend in the film business or who aspires to be in the film business, make sure to tell them about the Art of the Cut podcast and blog.frame.io.